Christ Fellowship, let me encourage you to find a seat, stand in front of it. We are few but mighty today, so sing loudly. Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day.
John 14, 1 through 6, as we open our service, and that we can stand together in his presence. So let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, and in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To God be the glory. Father in heaven, this service of remembrance, I also want to share with you something that happened this past week with Linda and I. A couple of friends of ours invited us to Mansfield Restaurant for breakfast, and this friend of mine, Dale Powers, and I, we were getting into a really intense conversation, and it was what a blessing. We like to share the Word of God together. We ministered together in the jail. I've been able to be part of his concerts, not part of them, but listening to them. And so as we're talking there, and Linda and Lynette, or Annette, it's Annette, was talking, I looked up, and our waitress was standing over there, and just as clear as could be, the Lord says, "You need to pray for her. Ask her to come over here." And so she came over, and I took her by the arm, and I said, "You know, I just, first of all, want to commend you for the great job that you're doing here. As someone who used to work in a restaurant, you're doing a tremendous job in waiting and serving people. But I said, the Lord just spoke to me and said I should ask you if you have any prayer requests." And she says, "Tomorrow I'm burying my son." Thank you. And I say that because the presence of the Lord is wherever we are. And it reminded me again over and over how many times I look back over my life, and Jesus was there all the time. There's a song. He was there all the time. He's here. And he's inviting us to come to this table today and remember. And that's the thought I'd like to leave with you, is that this week there are going to be things that are going to happen, and he's going to be there with you. And so let us remember. And so I would like to then now read from the passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians. This comes from 1 Corinthians 23, and I'll begin there, and our Lord is speaking to us, and he says, "For I received from you, from the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread worship you and our giving, and I pray, Father, that you will bless the gift and the giver, and it can be used for your glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can follow Bob to Children's Church, and at this time, Judea will come to share the Word of God with us.
How you guys doing? Doing good? Kind of good? All right. Well, let's pray for those kids that just ran upstairs. Father God, we pray your blessing upon our youth. They're the future. We pray, Lord, as they go to class, that they would have ears ready to hear, they would have eyes ready to see, and Lord, that they would have hearts ready to respond to the truth found in your scripture. Bless the teachers as they bring these solid, timeless truths. Lord, it is no small thing that we pray for. This is not child care. It's not babysitting. Lord, this is educating our youth so that they can stand strong in you for a lifetime to come. And so we pray, Lord, for the work of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Saying those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it, right? And that has a negative connotation to it. If I don't read history and understand the mistakes of the past, I will repeat them. Or our culture will repeat them. But I want to kind of flip it for a little bit. What if there are things about our history, our past, that we do want to repeat? And the recipe is still the same. Those who don't know their history may not repeat it. But specifically, we're talking about history as spelled capital H-I-S, story, his story. Specifically, we're talking about history as it pertains to God's favor, as it pertains to God's works, his fame, his glory, his honor. And just to give you a brief synopsis of the entire message, and Ezra, if you want to go ahead and, or Ashley, pull up the PowerPoint for me. We're called to pray boldly because we know what God has done in the past. And because we know what God has done in the past, we perfection, blessed with children, or bless our children? I couldn't hear you. Both? Probably both, yeah. Say it again. Family reunion. Courage in witnessing. He's been present. He gives wisdom, guidance. history and remember how great God used to be. We remember history because we know God will continue to be great. Joshua 1:8, one of my favorite verses, says this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." The word meditate, if you think about a cow and the way the cow creates milk, they've got several stomachs. I think it's like four stomachs. I should have asked a vet before saying. consider the way that Jesus prayed, he looked up to heaven and prayed to his Father, anticipating that his Father would respond to his prayers. When we pray, do we anticipate God to react? Are we just saying words, hoping something will happen? Or do we know that God hears it, he cares, and he will do something about it? I hope that it's the latter. I hope that when we pray with confidence, based on God's history and his character. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Listen to this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Speaking of temptation, the temptation when somebody talks about prayer is we think, oh yes, I know I need to pray more. I should be a good Christian and pray lots. Yeah, prayer is a regular part of a Christian's life. I believe that there should be spontaneous prayer, which would be what I would characterize as conversations with God throughout the day that are not in the form of a prayer. I just find something interesting and I say, hey God, that's pretty cool. Or I'm trying to figure out where to go and I say, which direction should I go, Lord? And then there's intentional prayer, time set aside for the purpose of prayer. And I think this is where a good time for like prayer lists comes in. Because when you tell somebody you'll pray for them, it's so easy to forget. But if you're anything like me, you set aside 10 minutes to pray. And after minute number two, you're like, has it been an hour? It can be very hard to pray. You get sleepy. You get distracted. You suddenly become hungry when you weren't before. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So I would encourage you, when you start to pray, pray that God would help you. Pray that you would be able to accomplish that goal of prayer, that you would not be distracted, you would not fall asleep. In 1 John, we read this, and this is confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I want you to focus in on that. He hears us. God hears our prayers. Even if he doesn't do what we want him to do, we're told in Scripture, God hears our prayers. Last one is the Lord's Prayer, and I'd invite you to read this with me, if you can see it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? This is the model that he gave them. So, it seemed very fitting that when we talk about prayer, that definitely needed to be there. As we look at our text for today, if you look back in Habakkuk chapter 3, the end of verse 2 says something interesting. It says, in wrath, remember mercy. Remember what Habakkuk was talking about. He asked God to do something about the sinful behavior of his people. How long are you going to put up with this, Lord? And God told him, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to use the Chaldeans to bring my punishment. And so he says, in your wrath, Lord, remember mercy. Here's the encouragement. Look down at verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the high. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Father God, we are a sinful and broken people. This country is in desperate need of your help. Our families need your help, Lord Jesus. Our church needs your help. We need your help as individuals. Lord, we ask that you would help us to humble ourselves. Lord, if there's sin we need to confess, help us to do that. May we do it quickly so that we can receive mercy. And Lord, as we pray knowing what your word has said,